Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, August 20th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is host of PS I Love You, XOXO, Greg Miller.
Blessing, I want you to know something. I am what they call an orator, right? Like, oh. I am a comedic force out there doing things to make the guffaws and the laughs and then give you some video game information.
I don't know if those are the same thing, an auteur and a comedic force. I feel like those have nothing to do with each other.
Well, I haven't looked up auteur, but I just feel like that's what I'm in with. All right. And I want you to know, if money was a bit cleaner, I'd love to start a podcast with a whole bunch of change in my mouth. And then open it up, and all this change falls out. You know what I mean? Because I think that'd be a funny way to start.
I get you a bunch of new money.
No, because even then, I don't know what's happening. I'm gonna have that bloody UV like copper taste in my mouth.
Okay, so like not if it was a lot cleaner. Way. If it tasted less metal like, is that what you meant?
Well, no, it's just like even it's that thing of we've all had change in our mouth. Period.
Yeah, we like
so
it.
So then, being an adult and knowing how dirty the change is,
but here's, I feel I like the get taste, new money. I'll
the
go
taste
to the bank.
And no, the bank doesn't have clean money. The taste,
no, they have clean money. I'll get new
the
money.
The taste and the idea of knowing that it's usually a dirty thing. I just can't do it.
Because like,
then don't say things you don't mean. Don't say things you don't mean. I'll get you.
When was the last
time
you had coins in your mouth? Because for me, it was I was a child, right?
Sure. I never said I wasn't a child. You know what I mean?
But like, I mean, the energy you're emitting, like Kevin, is making me think that like maybe it was last year.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
There's a lot of interesting energy in the house today. We've already addressed this, but we weren't on camera yet.
But here's the thing, Miller. I can go to the Mint. I think they still have some in California. They don't have them in San Francisco anymore. But I'll get you brand new money. I'll get you one of those big, you know, before they cut the dollars.
Sure.
Just
oh,
one big
money
thing.
Sheet.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
That would be cool. That'd be really cool. But I won't put that in my mouth. That's a giant sheet of money.
That won't fit.
Because I'm thinking of change.
That won't fit. No, I know.
Do you remember back at IGN when you thought I didn't like you and we didn't know each other? Remember that time? Remember when you thought I didn't like you and didn't know you? I was walking back to my desk and I just turned to look at you and you looked at me and I opened my mouth and all this water poured out of it.
It was one of the funniest things that's ever happened. It was terrifying, Bless.
It set the bar for what our relationship would become.
Greg Miller, big man.
I'm so confused on the coin thing. So is the bit just that you have coins in your mouth and you open your mouth?
People wouldn't expect that.
Why he makes money out of his mouth?
Why does that have to be coins, though? It could be like anything, right? It could be like cereal.
Yeah, but then I got to pick up cereal. Porty's eating cereal. That's a whole thing.
Well, dog bits, dog treats, or you know what I mean?
I don't want dog food in my mouth. Again.
What if I get you some dog food that doesn't taste like dog food? You know what I mean? We're talking.
Does it taste like copper? Does it taste like coins?
Does it taste like coins?
It could.
We're at a great point right now where we can transition into the news and all that shit. But before we do, are you wearing an owl shirt or is this a video game shirt? Because if it's just an owl, that's pretty dope.
It's an eagle. I don't know where I got this shirt, honestly. It appeared in my closet one day and I was like, must be mine because it's in my closet.
That's awesome.
So.
Can you step back a little bit? I'd like to see a little bit more of it.
Yeah, look at this thing. That is a full-blown eagle.
I think it's a hawk.
If you're an audio listener, that's it. Maybe it is a hawk. It's some kind of...
It might be a hawk.
It's a raptor.
It's a bird of prey.
The biggest bird connoisseur.
It's a bird of prey looking out, and it's coming... I want to say it's over a mountain range, but I think it might just be they put different colors coming down its chest.
Yeah, I think probably so. That's why I said it was a hawk. Someone's saying bald eagle in the chat. I think bald eagles have yellow beaks.
Well, yeah, but I think they've done something to the color here.
I'm calling this kid an idiot. You let me do it.
No, because it looks like a bald eagle, but yeah, it's just got a. It's got this red tint to it.
Enough about what my shirt is. Let's talk about Remedy's explanation on Control's next-gen upgrade, Rocksteady's explanation on the accusations against them, and our explanations on those explanations, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, or bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping today. Greg, Snowbike Mike, Joey, and Kevin are streaming Fall Guys. That's right. That's a dynamic crew right there. That's happening right today.
Kevin, how many crowns do you have?
None. Oh, my God.
We're getting you your first one today, Kevin. We're getting you your first one today.
I sincerely doubt it. It's okay. It's not about that. It's about having fun together.
We're going to get you your first crown, and we're going to ensure Joey doesn't win.
Do we know how many crowns Snowmike Mike has?
I don't know. I'm sure a lot.
He strikes me as a guy that has a lot of crowns.
He does. Yeah, he definitely has a lot of crowns.
Yeah. Do you know how many crowns Joey has?
None.
Yeah, she strikes me as somebody who hasn't gotten a crown.
We can't be mean to Joey when we play video games.
We're not being mean. Yes, I was joking about being mean to Joey. I will not be mean to Joey.
Because she won't play with us anymore.
I know. I'm aware.
She'll cut you off.
And I didn't. And then I feel like I would have heard if Joey had gotten a crown yet.
If you guys get Joey a crown, like, she'll be in your debt.
It's true.
She'll want to play with you guys all the time. I'm just saying.
Joey, do you have a Fall Guy crown? Sent. That's on Slack now. Of course, the day starts at 9 o'clock, but we'll see when Joey's actually on Slack. You know what I mean?
It's not gonna be until 1:30 p.m. until she responds. Again, that's happening though today on Twitch.
She immediately responded.
It's like I'm watching the show.
Looks like a no. Well, no? She did the excited emoji face, and then she corrected it to this one. Yeah, no, it's a no. She's we're getting her one today. We're getting.
A lot of promises being made.
I've taken away yours. Yours.
I don't deserve
You're out there
Thank
like,
you.
I'm just here
Thank
for a nice walk. I just like to walk and fall, guys.
I'm all about
that's
walk.
You.
I'm all about walk.
Walk, guys. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Again, that's happening at 2 p.m. Pacific time today. Tomorrow, Friday at 9:45 a.m. Pacific time on Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Greg and Tim are doing a mini town hall, giving you all an update on the Patreon goals from January and how those look like in our new COVID timeline. Because, of course, everything changed, as we all know. And so
guess what? It's not good.
Turns out when things change like that, we got to adjust.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
we all doing that basketball game. No fucking idea. Not soon. Update next.
We can make that work, right? We all wear hazmat suits.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what we're looking for.
That's, if anything, that's a cooler basketball
I already
game.
Have one hazmat suit. I could buy.
Bullshit. Put it on right now. Put it on right now.
It's downstairs. What do you mean?
Oh, it's downstairs.
Can we go down in the garage?
I don't care. I don't know how far your garage is. The show runs itself. Nobody needs. You don't need to do anything.
I got time codes. I mean, I'll go get it.
And yeah, that's happening tomorrow at 9:45 a.m. Pacific time. So tune in for that. Then Saturday, of course, is DC Fandom, and we're treating that like Greg Miller's personal E3, where Greg and the Kind of Funny crew on Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames reacts all day long to the panels happening for Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, WB Montreal's game, the Snyder Cut, and every other DC movie. It all starts at 10 a.m. Pacific time, so don't miss out.
Did you see this new Snyder Cut teaser trailer today?
I did not. No, I gotta tell
Snyder
you.
Cut fan. Snake,
I gotta tell you. I'm
snake
not.
Spider. I can't even put it all together.
I don't know how big of a. How much I'm in the target audience for the Snyder Cut.
Here's what you do. You can just play the meta game of it, all right? Because, of course, whenever I talked about the Snyder Cut before it was real, right? You had fucking Tim and Nick out there like, oh, yeah, what exactly this movie needs to be longer. And I'd be like, no, it's. Joss put all this stuff in. No, he didn't. And then we'd prove that he did. Like, it still sucks. So, like, just let's see what the narrative is Saturday after we watch this trailer on it, where they want to bag on it more. But guess what? We want HBO Max. You know what I mean?
It's too deep. There's no way I can.
Okay, I appreciate you going to look for it, Kevin. Don't worry about it. Please. Kick up your feet.
Just talking about Snyder? It was
Snyder Cut.
What would you say if I told you I've not seen the Justice League?
I'd be proud of you. Trust me, if I didn't have to talk about it on camera, I wouldn't have seen it either.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Muhammad and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what it is and forever will be the Rope Report. It's time for some news. We have seven scores today.
Oh, Baker!
Starting with our number one, Greg.
Yeah.
You remember last week when Remedy came out and they were like, oh, yeah, you want the Control Next Gen upgrade? Gonna have to buy the Ultimate Edition.
Now, technically, wasn't it 505 Games that came out and said that their publisher?
It was probably 505.
Okay, just making sure. Yeah. I do remember this though. Yeah, we're putting on an Ultimate Edition of Control, and if you want to play it on PS5, that's how you got to get it. And everybody's like, wait a second, I own it on the other thing, right? Why can't I do that? And they're like, no.
And everybody was very upset about it. And they came out today with a new blog post titled "Control Ultimate Edition." An explanation. So I'm going to read through the explanation here because they have a lot to say.
Right. It's confusing, right? Because they were putting out the Ultimate Edition on PlayStation 4. And then if you bought that one, that was the one that had the free upgrade to PlayStation 5. It's the same for Xbox, even though they have smart delivery. But it worked out that it doesn't go backwards. And then to try to... I'm sure this will clarify everything and make everybody extremely happy.
We have a blog post on Make Everybody Happy. In the blog post, they write, last week, alongside information about the upcoming AWE expansion for Control, we also released information about Control Ultimate Edition, a Control package featuring the Foundation and AWE expansions, coming to current-gen and next-gen consoles, as well as PC. We spent several months exploring all of our launch options for Control Ultimate Edition, and no decision was taken lightly. While it is challenging bringing any game to next-gen platforms, we quickly realized it was even more difficult to upgrade our current user base to next-gen with full parity across platforms with our year-old game. Every avenue we pursued, there was some form of blocker, and those blockers meant that at least one group of players ended up being left out of the upgrade for various reasons. As of today, we can't offer an upgrade to everyone, and leaving any one group out feels unfair. We understand that this is not what you want to hear. Understandably, there are still some questions about what this means for those that already own Control on current-gen consoles, and we hope to clear this up. They do like an FAQ format here. And so for the first question here that they add, will I be able to purchase a Control-based game on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X without the additional content? Their answer, no. The only version...
Their answer, no. Next question, please.
The only version of Control available on PS5 and Xbox Series X will be the Control Ultimate Edition. However, if you have the Control base game, the expansion packs, or the season pass on PS4 or Xbox One in your collection, you'll still be able to play 100% of your game and enjoy an enhanced experience through backwards compatibility. Next question, does this mean the season pass won't be available to purchase separately on PS5 and Xbox Series X? Their answer, correct. All content featured will be available as part of Control Ultimate Edition. The original base game, expansion packs, and season pass will not be sold separately on PS5 or Xbox Series X. Next question. I own the Control base game and season pass. Is this not the same as Control Ultimate Edition? They gave a long answer, and basically the answer is no. And I'm not going to read it all. Basically, they just said a lot of words that mean no. But they do add this. The PS5 and Xbox Series X versions of Control contain the same content as the current-gen game, though they do take full advantage of the power and features provided by these new consoles. Next question. Is Control backwards compatible with PS5 and Xbox Series X? Their answer, yes. In conclusion, to bring Control to next-generation consoles in any form, we had to make some difficult decisions, and those came in the form of creating the simplified Control Ultimate Edition product plan we have today. Greg, yeah. Does that satisfy you?
What a clusterfuck. You know what I mean? Like, what's just a clusterfuck of things going on here? And again, I don't know. Obviously, nobody knows what's going on. But them fucking coming in and talking about some form of blocker. What are you talking about? What is the some form of blocker that
Anakin
you're running
JMP
into right now?
He writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Just like you can, it says, after reading Remedy's blog post about why purchasing the Ultimate Edition of Control is necessary to get the next-gen version of the game, I must admit, I'm confused at what is the truth. The whole point of smart delivery on Xbox is to make it easy for devs to upgrade their game to the next-gen version. Is Remedy insinuating that PS5 will not allow for free upgrades for PS4 titles to PS5 quality? Or is this just 505 Games coming up with a BS reason to try charging twice?
Who knows? That's the problem, is that we don't know the answer to this. Where I think that, you know, having read enough PR word salads, right? This some form of blocker is what I hone in on, and I think it could mean a couple of different things. It could mean that, yes, one of the platforms is being a douchebag about this. As Anakin points out, right, like, smart delivery has been pretty upfront about what that's supposed to be and how that's supposed to work. So it doesn't sound like it would be Xbox. It sounds like it would be PlayStation. And again, we don't really know a lot about how PlayStation's handling cross-gen support and free upgrades and all that jazz. We do know they exist, right? Marvel's Avengers has already infamously said that. Yeah, or not infamously, famously, I guess, because it's a good thing. Has already said, right, that you buy it on PlayStation 4, you'll get it on PlayStation 5 for free. So that is already there. Now, granted, again, we're into the, what does that mean? We don't know because we don't have it. Is that going to be something that the save isn't? It's not going to transfer automatically. It's something where my Square Enix account would come into play and I would have to do all that stuff. Is that what they're talking about that would be different here and why wouldn't it work there and so on and so forth? You don't know. So the blocker at the crux of this issue is either saying is going as far as you can to say something without offending the third or the console manufacturer who's making it a pain in the ass, or it is you just being like, no, Control sold softly and we want to make more money on it. And so, yes, we want to double, I guess not even double dip because the DLC would be double dip. We want to triple dip on fans who love this game the most. So we know that you've already spent, you've already bought the base game, you already bought the season pass, you have everything in Control Ultimate Edition, but we want $40 more from you to get the version that will be on PlayStation 5, that will be on Xbox Series X. What is the answer, though? We don't know.
I think that's where this gets messy, is that they're saying so much while still not saying enough. Okay, like this is the case, and people for the most part are upset with it. I came out last week being like, I don't think this is as big of an issue as we're making it out to be.
Agreed.
And after reading this explanation, I'm still somewhat in that place of, well, it's backwards compatible, and so isn't that the win here? Like, isn't the fact that you can still play Control on next gen, and they're saying that it will take advantage of some boost through the backwards compatible version. Like, if
this
that's
is where
the
we
case,
get into it.
Yeah,
where you get what is backwards compatible versus a PlayStation 5 game? What are the differences going to be? And I'm sure Digital Foundry and IGN will have comparisons up and stuff like that, but we don't know.
And I think a big part of where they're kind of screwing themselves here is the fact that I think a big part of where this comes down is that the next gen version of Control is just Control Ultimate Edition. They don't have a base version of Control for next gen. Meaning, yeah, if I have just the base version of Control for current gen, like there's not really a way for me to upgrade, right? Like, and
yeah.
I think the messy part of this and the most upsetting part of this is if I do have Control for current gen and I have all the add-ons and the DLC, I still don't get upgraded to the full version. I still have to buy the Ultimate Edition. I think that is the main point of where this becomes upsetting is.
And so even there, right, is what we were talking about last week when this came up. Of, again, I don't know anything about what's going on at Sony or Microsoft behind the scenes working with a developer on how you would do this kind of shit, all above my pay grade by quite a bit. But my thought would be that in the same way you add post-release content or DLC that you've already bought through the season pass, you should be able to look at somebody's PSN profile and their purchases or their Xbox purchases and see, okay, you've bought the Control, you have the base game and you have the DLC. Or I guess you have the DLC because how would you play it without buying the base game? And you should be able to see that and give them, I guess it gets weird with the disc if you had the disc, but whatever. Just for argument's sake, let's say you also see the digital game, which would leave out physical pre-orders, but we're out of, or physical gamers were out of it. You see that and you give them the Control Ultimate Edition voucher. You know what I mean? Like you award them that thing. I guess the problem there would be that your save from Control based edition probably isn't going to work with Control Ultimate Edition. But if you're getting your next gen upgrade, isn't that the smallest of the problems if people really want it? Long story short, and just take a step back from the actual minutia and see the bigger picture, you're 100% right, Bless, that I honestly think that this is something that today there's a million hot takes on Twitter and people be like, oh my God, they fucked up messaging here, yada, yada, yada. Us included, were we really going to go on PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X day one and boot up Control Ultimate Edition and like go play? Like, no, probably not, right? Like, I'm trying, I want to play the next expansion here, AWE, but like, even that, I'm like, I don't know if that's not at the top of my list to get to. I guess arguably then I could wait for it on PlayStation 5, but I'm there of like, well, if it's backwards compatible, who cares? And I'd want my save and I'd want my progress. And then it's just people, as usual, and I always talk about with season passes from back in the day, who are like, this is a dumb decision because this is a dumb decision and it's a really botched PR message. Everybody's commenting on it and making it seem like it's a big deal, but I don't think those people are going to rush out and play this stuff on PlayStation 5 or next gen.
Yeah, and I think if they came out, or if they didn't come out, right, if they didn't have any sort of upgrade plan at all, if they just released Control Ultimate Edition on next gen without the upgrade path, I don't think people would have much to say, right? I think we have this expectation that we're going to have these upgrade plans because smart delivery is a thing and because it's such an awesome thing, right?
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily the standard that we get an upgraded version of a game, you know, if we have the current gen thing. And so I think the fact that we're looking at this messaging and the messaging is weird, like the messaging isn't clear and there are some problems here, I think that then blows it up and makes us think of the NBA 2K thing, where I think they're the ones that are really flubbing it, where like for NBA 2K, if you want to get the upgrade path to next gen, you have to get the special edition. But that's a case of the game is, all those editions are coming out at once, right? It's not like Control, where Control came out last year, we're getting the Ultimate Edition this year, and we're getting the Ultimate Edition for next gen when next gen comes out. therefore, if you get the current Ultimate Edition, you'll get the next gen Ultimate Edition. For NBA 2K, it is more of a thing of, hey, y'all obviously have the ability to do this across the board, and you're just choosing not to. You are choosing to give right. people reason to buy the whatever premium version of the game you're selling so that you can make more money off this, which feels way more nefarious, I think, than what Control is doing here.
The Control thing, it always goes back to this argument of, you know, Control wins IGN Game of the Year, and I still don't think there's enough juice behind that game. I've seen it go by in the comments of people, man, I haven't played it yet, so like, I want to, you know, I'm going to pick it up on PlayStation 5 or whatever. And again, that's exactly what they're going for. This probably is a coordinated effort where they understood, we're going to take our lumps here, guys. We're going to get yelled at, but when the gamers all settle down and they're in there on launch day and they see that they can buy this game for their fancy new box, they're going to buy it, and then hopefully we get another, you know, jump to this game that is great and does deserve as many eyes on it as possible. The thing right now is you have everyone yelling about this, even though I think only a small majority were ever going to play that. But then a lot of the voices that are yelling, not the majority, but a lot of the voices, are in fact the hardcore fans who do feel ripped off by this. That they bought the game at $60, then they bought the season pass. They've spent far more than the Ultimate Edition would cost them, but now they're locked out of getting to play our, you know, and I'm speaking in very hypotheticals here, but their favorite game of the generation, or their favorite game of last year, or whatever. One of their favorite games that has inspired their cosplay and their, you know, cool collectibles and shit like that, they have to put down another $40 for it, and they think that's a bridge too far. And it's hard, I think, to have a counter argument for that. And this doesn't solve it. Go ahead.
Oh, my counter argument would be that you still do get to play the game on next gen through backwards compatibility. And I think that's the biggest thing, right? Is if we're looking at backwards compatibility and Control's next gen edition as different things, then that is a new product. Like, that is, you, I guess what you're buying there with Control Ultimate Edition on next gen is all the advantages that you're getting with that specific edition that aren't just the backwards compatibility things. But if you have Control on current gen, you still can play it on next gen. And like, sure. I know I'm coming off as like very corporate apologist-y here, or like, if we have a console for you, it's called the Xbox 360 or whatever, the comment that Don Magic made, right? I feel like that's how I'm coming off as sounding. But like, the fact of the matter is, I think with these conversations, when it comes to software ownership and keeping our games with us as we move forward, for me, what I've been asking for over the last generation is backwards compatibility, because I think that solves that problem, right? That allows me to keep my software. That allows me not to necessarily feel like I have to keep buying a thing over and over and over again. And so with that being an option on next gen, it's kind of difficult for me to look at this and be like, how dare they, right? I am like, how dare they, of the messiness of it and how like arbitrary it seems. Like, if anything, just put out a base version of Control on next gen. Like, why is that the disconnect here? But outside of that, like, I'm pretty good with this.
It's confusing and muddled, and the biggest thing working against them is us not knowing what this is going to look like. The fact that we are still here with the first few games. We have a handful of games that are talking about this, and most are talking in generalities. Here you have 505 and Control and Remedy talking in specifics of what you're going to get out of the Ultimate Edition, but then these blockers being too general. I think, again, when we get there and there's a Digital Foundry piece, and guess what? Control backwards compatibility versus Control PlayStation 5 are nearly identical. Who the fuck cares? It's just this not knowing. And it's this idea that, well, Control next gen will have ray tracing and 3D audio and all this crazy shit, and the menus won't load slowly, and the map will be, and it's like, is it going to have any of those actual enhancements, or is it going to be on par with what you're getting on the backwards compatibility version with whatever boost modes it's getting from the backwards compatibility? And you're in this weird spot as 505, right? Of like, you don't want to say that. You can't come out right and be like, listen, this is all overblown. Like, this is a Game of the Year edition that'll have everything bundled on the next gen software. If you have the other stuff, it's going to look the exact same on back. Cause then everybody who has it's like, oh, well, why would I buy it? Why? You know what I mean? Like, there's this push and pull of how do you do this and how do you net it out. And I think there's just been so little said. It's at such a loud volume about this game, and there's still so much runway to you actually having your PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X to sit down and see these answers, that right now it's just everybody, you know, running out of the cornfields here to eat their own tail with little information.
Yeah, and I know part of this too is the fact that
thank you for not calling me on that, making no sense. I was like, I'm going to say eat their tail, but I was like, run. cornfield. What the fuck am I talking about?
But yeah, I was like, well, I've been in a cornfield in a while, so maybe he's saying something that makes sense that I just
was
don't
so close to cutting in, being like, cornfield running on your own tail. All right.
You understand what I meant? Eating your own tail, but I had to put in the cornfield.
I knew where
you were
going,
reason.
And I was like, okay, yeah, cornfields. You're from Illinois, so I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We understand.
Yeah, I understand cornfields. But part of this, too, I think is the fact that on console, Control didn't run well. Like, on console, Control was sort of a problem, right? Like, you would have the issues of frame rate or the issues of every time you pause or unpause, the game would stutter for a good few seconds.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure some of that stuff still exists there. And does a next-gen upgrade then fix those problems? And I think, like, yeah, if Control on next-gen fixes those problems that still exist on current gen, then I think I understand even more so why people would be upset with not being able to have that, right? But I think the question comes back to me again of, does backwards compatibility fix that? Like, what does that look like?
And
to what you're saying, like, we'll figure all that stuff out. Like, that's still yet to be seen. But yeah, even still, messaging here, somewhat weird.
Clumsy. Yeah, it's clumsy.
Speaking of more weird messaging, though, story number two, God. Rocksteady releases an employee letter defending it from the accusations that we saw. I can't remember if it was earlier this week or last week, because time, again, is a flat circle.
It was definitely this week.
Was it this week?
Yeah.
This is from Brendan Sinclair at gamesindustry.biz. Some of the women who signed a letter 2 years ago accusing Rocksteady Games of failing to prevent sexual harassment at the studio have signed another letter defending their employer's response. The studio released the letter on its Twitter account, saying it was unedited, unsolicited, and signed by 7 of the 8 original signatories of the original letter who still work at Rocksteady. Quote, in the Guardian's article, we feel that the anonymous source or sources attempted to speak on behalf of all women at Rocksteady, and we do not feel that this article is a fair representation of us. The events at the time or since the letter was received, they said. They go on to contradict the original article's assertion that management virtually ignored the 2018 letter, saying Rocksteady team leaders had a series of meetings with the women there to address their issues and have since continued working to, quote, ensure that we have a voice within our work and within the studio, end quote. They also took issue with their letter being made public at all, saying that the signatories had collectively requested it be kept a private matter years ago. Quote, This has left us feeling that we have been violated by the source or sources as it was kept private for personal reasons to all involved, not due to industry secrecy, they said. They concluded the letter affirming their support for minority developers in the industry to speak up to create safe work environments and to have the studios take their concerns seriously. The 2018 letter was signed by 10 out of the 16 women who worked at Rocksteady at the time and took issue with a variety of unacceptable behavior allegedly tolerated at the studio, including sexual harassment, slurs about transgendered people, and talking about women in derogatory or sexual ways. And of course, this is coming off of the story. I think it was Tuesday, because I think it was me and everyone talking about it. The letter came out, the way the Guardian article essentially, the way they framed it was, okay, yeah, like Rocksteady dealt with this thing 2 years ago, but they've not necessarily taken the steps to fix it. And it seems that, yeah, like yesterday on Twitter, Rocksteady tweeted out this updated letter, which I feel like was kind of weird coming from directly from the publisher or from the studio, right? Them tweeting it and that being a whole thing. Did you follow all this as it was happening?
Yeah, no, I read the news story and then I saw this story. Or I read the original news story, or maybe I just heard it on Games Daily with you and Imran. And then obviously I saw this one this morning and I had seen a little bit of it last night. The whole thing's weird. And for Rocksteady, to tweet about it, like you're saying, is an interesting choice that I don't think I would have made, right? Where it is that so many people who follow Rocksteady have no fucking idea what this is. And so, like, to call more attention to it, right? Where you're Streisand affecting it in a way, where you're this thing that's happening that is obviously something that needs to be addressed. Obviously, this is something to be discussed. Obviously, emotions are going to run high in terms of if you see this article and you're at the studio and don't think that's how it actually is there, how do you counteract that? Do you know this letter that's being published, the second letter, I should say, it's a giant emotional mess, right? I think there's so much tied up in it. And it is that thing of, I don't know if I have the answer on how a faceless company that makes a video game, and you loved our Batman game, and are you excited about Suicide Squad? And also, hey, here's a letter from our female friend saying we're not horrible people. It's like, what? Like, that's a whiplash on the Twitter feed in terms of why you would do it that way.
That's where it gets weird to me, right? Is the, like, I think in terms of the second letter, I feel everything they're saying there, right? As far as, hey, we came out and we did a thing in 2018, and we as the women at the studio, right, wanted to hold up a mirror to the studio and be like, hey, this is what y'all are doing, and it is wrong, and we want this place to be better. To come out like 2 years later and see that, and to be in a place where it's like, all right, things have gotten better, but then to see your letter posted and be like, and be taken each and every way, like, I definitely understand how that could be like upsetting to you, right? Sure. Because like from the way the Guardian reported it, it very much seemed like, oh yeah, these are issues that are very much still going on, and for all intents and purposes, like, they could be still going on in some certain ways, right? Like, none of us work at Rocksteady, so exactly. we really don't know. But I understand the idea of working there and being like, oh, what the fuck, man? Like, we didn't want things to go down this way. This is supposed to be kept a private matter. This is supposed to be between us and our employer, and now it's between us, our employer, and the community and the world.
You figure on the heels, or I shouldn't even say the heels, on the doorstep of this huge announcement, right? Which is, and I, this is, we're playing not fast and loose here, but I know that we're very much in a box where our words can be taken out of context, right? Where if I'm trying to put my head right in this, the heads of the mindset of the people who wrote this second letter, being like, listen, no, it's gotten better. This isn't this thing. It is, I can understand it being one way of, hey, we've been working our asses off on this game, and now we're going to put it out, and no matter what, you know, like, the comments in the Twitch chat, there's going to be shit about this. The IGN article will probably have to reference this at some point. Rocksteady was also in hot water this week with this, that, and the other, let alone now with this. Like, then there's the other side of the coin of, is this letter forced by Rocksteady? Like, you know what I mean? Like, where, like, they're putting these women who signed this letter saying, hey, things have gotten better since 2018. Is it that thing where you're putting them under a microscope of like, hey, can you please sign this? Hey, we wrote this thing. You wrote this thing. Like, it's just a giant fucking conundrum in terms of what you do when your public persona is being dragged through the mud.
That to me is where the Rocksteady tweet gets weird, because the Rocksteady tweet does read like, oh, like, you know, we were working on our response, but as we're doing that, like, look at what our women employees had to say, and they turn off replies and do all that stuff on Twitter. And it's like, in that framed context of how they put it out, it feels weird. But like, if you skirting aside the presentation of it, like, I feel where the letter is coming from.
100%.
That said, and so with all that context given, like, it is a weird situation. And if Rocksteady has been doing better, then like, good on them. And
exactly.
I'd like to continue to hear and see that from them. But yeah, man, what a kind of a messy situation.
Totally. And that's what these things are. And that's what's so hard about us as gamers loving games, loving what a developer does or a company, right? And then you hear these stories and there is that, oh, that fucking sucks. And what do you do with that information? And so I'm right there with you, Blessing, of like, first off, how messy this is, how clusterfuck this is, how obviously everyone, regardless of race, gender, creed, sex, any and all of the above, and any disability, anything you want to expand it to, should feel comfortable going to work and not feeling like they're, you know, being put into a hostile work environment or toxic work environment. Like, that's at the top of the line. But then how do you, as an audience member, deal with that? And what do you want to do with that? And is it just that we do this and then you acknowledge that they seem like they're doing better, and like, clearly this won't be the end of it, right? Because now there'll be another article where the person who leaked the letter from 2018 is going to have to respond to somebody and be like, well, no, I don't think it's better at all. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. It's just like, I mean, it's very reminiscent of, there have been other situations we've seen of like, sources coming out of like Naughty Dog talking about the crunch there, right? And like, there have always been conflict. Whenever this stuff happens, I feel like there are always those conflicting views of people coming out and being like, yeah, man, I hated it so much that I wish the game failed. And then other employees being like, no, I worked very hard on this. Like, I would never want this thing to fail. I want people to see my work, right? And I think this could very well be a case of, like, a couple of people who are working at Rocksteady, like, still feel this way.
That's the other thing about it, right? You're talking about where it's like, you know, in 2018, letter was signed by 10 of 16 women who worked at Rocksteady at the time. So why did the other six not sign it? I'm not at all trying to victim blame or anything like that. I'm saying, like, clearly we're all human beings and we can all see the same thing and be in the same situation. And I mean, the people who signed the new letter in 2020 saying things have gotten better since 2018 could also be met by another 6 to 9 women or whatever who are also like, no, it hasn't gotten better. Like, I'm still in these meetings and people are, sexualizing characters and being horrible and saying stupid comments they think are funny and are not, that are painful. Like, this is the thing about this, why we all have to look out and have empathy for each other.
Exactly. Story number 3, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War has officially been confirmed.
Hasn't this game been confirmed like 19 times?
It's been leaked like a billion times, and this is the actual confirmation of the name. This is from Matt Kim at IGN. The next Call of Duty game is officially titled Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. As previously reported, the setting for the next Call of Duty will take place during the 20th century geopolitical conflict between the United States and the USSR. Call of Duty posted an unlisted trailer that's short of gameplay, but shows real video footage from the Cold War era of history, all the while using a voiceover from KGB defector Yuri Bezmenov as he explains the tools of fighting a Cold War. The trailer ends with the title reveal for Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War is being developed by both Treyarch and Raven. It was previously reported that this year's Call of Duty game would be set during the Cold War. And like, I think we've known this name of the game since, like, I want to say February, but it's our official confirmation. Greg, are you excited for Black Ops Cold War?
No. Are you?
Sure. I mean, a little bit.
It's
I
that like, thing I where mean,
Black
I've
Ops
done this
is like my preferred Call of Duty, and so
every time, every Call of Duty that comes up, it's like, oh, we're doing this cool story, we're putting all this emphasis on this, we're doing. I'm like, oh man, this sounds like the single player campaign that'll get me. And I always start it, and I'm like, it's a shooter, and I just can't. I just don't. It just doesn't vibe with me. It's like, it's the gameplay genre I just struggle so much to get into.
Have you not enjoyed any of the Call of Duty campaigns over the last gen?
No, not really. I mean, enjoyed. Like, I've never, this generation, have I finished one? I don't think so. Like, I started Modern Warfare and I was like, it's really pretty and stuff. But it's just like, I just don't have that fantasy of the troop, of I'm this grounded soldier. This is what we're doing. Like, it just, that's never been what I want to do in a video game. And not because I'm like, well, I guess that's a bigger question. But like, it's just not my thing to do. Whereas like Borderlands is crazy and guns and there's all this colorful stuff happening and I'm looter shootering it up. Whereas, like, yeah, for Call of Duty, like, when it was, like, you know, Infinite Warfare, right? Was that the one with Troy? When Kevin Spacey was in it before we knew he was a dirtbag? When, you know, last year with Modern Warfare, like, there's all these, Brandon Routh, I think, was in Ghost, right? Like, Ghosts, it was, like, all these things that should make me care about Call of Duty, and every time I've just tried, I've never, it just doesn't work. Even Modern Warfare, the original Call of Duty Modern Warfare, or kind of 2, whichever one had you get killed, and then, you know, there was the nuke and all that shit, like, even that when I finished, but I was like, I don't know, it's just shooting things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a similar place with Call of Duty campaigns. I've never really been able to get into all the ones I've tried. I'm mainly playing for the multiplayer. And with Black Ops, like, that is kind of where I was gonna say I shine. I'm not great at Call of Duty, but that is what I enjoy.
that's my jam.
That's my jam. And so I'm looking forward to whatever Black Ops Cold War is. Story number 4. EA Access is becoming EA Play. This is Alyssa Mercante at GamesRadar. The subscription services EA Access and Origin Access Basic are now known as EA Play, with Origin Access Premier called EA Play Pro, according to a press release from the company. EA Play will also launch on Steam PC on August 31st, adding a fourth platform to the service. The services are also getting a fresh new look, although subscribers will still enjoy the same benefits, including trials of new EA games and 10% off all digital purchases. According to the press release, there are more benefits to joining the newly branded EA Play that will arrive in the coming months, including exclusive in-game challenges and monthly reward drops for members playing select titles. These perks include Madden 21 players getting to start their season early on August 21st and enjoy EA Play challenges, a launch day pack for Madden Ultimate Team, 3 gold team fantasy packs and a month, or 3 gold team fantasy packs a month and more. FIFA 21 players will get early access to the trial starting October 1st, including pre-launch challenges that will unlock bonuses and additional benefits. And then Star Wars Squadrons players will get in-game perks with vanity items like bonus helmets and paint jobs, which we're going to return to in a second because that's interesting. EA Play and EA Play Pro members will also get to try out selected new release new release games for up to 10 hours, with the save progress transferring to a purchase of the full game. An EA Play membership is $4.99 a month, while EA Play Pro membership is $14.99 a month, or $99.99 a year. Greg, the reason why I say that Star Wars Squadrons thing is interesting, because I believe they mentioned before with that game that it will not have microtransactions. And technically, this is not a microtransaction.
Exactly. But, or shove it up your face.
But it is like exclusive vanity items and paint jobs with EA Play. How does that strike you? Because I read that and I was like, huh, that seems like a weird workaround for what you guys said before.
It doesn't strike me as odd at all. I think it's they want you to come use EA Play. They want you to be there or whatever. I get that part of it. It's interesting. I think it didn't even register on my radar in terms of like, oh man, vanity items and microtransactions, and this is something to pay attention to that way. Like, it's interesting it's got you though. I mean, it does open the door of, is this going to be like, you know, Avengers, where I can go buy Stride gum or something, get new Star Wars Squadrons content or something like that? Like, are there going to be other in-game perks and stuff tied to other services or partnerships or whatever? I think even that, like, again, microtransactions, people got all bent out of shape about, understandably so, in Battlefront, right? Because it was actually, like, so egregious, and there was so much going on, and you couldn't get the stuff for free. I think tossing stuff in as a vanity item that's a perk or something, there's going to be vanity items in this game you have to earn, right? Yeah, so, like...
Probably, yeah.
Doesn't catch me off guard. Yeah. But I understand what you're saying.
Isn't something where I'm like... I don't think it's the end of the world by any means, but it's one of those things where I'm like, that seems like an interesting workaround for not having microtransactions in the game, sure, right? Pointing folks to EA Play as the way to play the game. But then also, yeah, like, is there a slippery slope there where we do see an Avengers situation where it is, oh yeah, by the way, if you're a Verizon customer, like, you get to play as Lando Calrissian or whatever, right? Or like if you
that's,
I don't
a Spider-Man
know, man.
Situation, right?
Yeah, or if you're a Sprint customer, like, you get to play as Iron Man in your Star Wars game. I don't know. But I don't know. That just strikes me as interesting.
Okay. All out. You're allowed to be interested about it.
Story number 5. Vampire the Masquerade's Bloodline 2 fires the lead writer and director. This is from Owen Good at Polygon. The publisher and developer of Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 have fired the game's creative director and lead writer, and it doesn't sound like it was an amicable departure. Paradox Interactive and Hardsuit Labs announced the dismissals in a blog post on Wednesday, saying that Brian Matsuda, who was also lead writer of the original 2004 game, and director Kai Clooney, quote, are no longer part of the team at Hardsuit Labs. This was a joint decision made by the leadership of Hardsuit Labs and Paradox Interactive, the statement said. Matsuda, in a statement, said to Rock Paper Shotgun, called the changes an unpleasant surprise, quote, to say that this came as a shock to me is underselling it. I'm incredibly disappointed and frustrated to say that this is where it ends for me on the project. I was not part of the conversations that led to the decision to delay the production. To my knowledge, there were no delays caused by the Bloodlines 2 narrative development, end quote. Hardsuit Labs announced on August 11th that Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 was delayed into 2021. The studio said it needed more time to complete a stable and polished product. Greg.
Yep.
What is your take on this?
Oof, man. That's a troublesome one. What, it was last week that they delayed this game? That they were like, it's not going to hit in 2020 at all. And they fucked up my fantasy league. And now to get this here and the lead writer and director, that's not good. And I like how, the article points out, right, that it doesn't sound like it was an amicable departure. Yeah.
That, I mean, not at all from that quote.
That sucks, man. And you wonder what that actually means and where that game's actually going to shake out now. Like, what, you know what I mean? What is the delay? Obviously, there were no delays caused, or, you know, not obviously, but to my knowledge, there were no delays caused by Bloodline 2's narrative development. Eesh, yeah. I wonder what is going on under the hood with that one.
Yeah. And that's one that remains in mystery. I'm curious to see if we ever get more out of that. I'm not necessarily confident that we'll hear more unless Jason Schreier is on the case, but.
Sure.
I wonder what went wrong there.
Yeah, and I wonder how it'll net out, and if this is just the first of the, or if this, you know, I shouldn't say the first, but because I don't know if there's been others, but if this is, for argument's sake, the first of many delays, if this game, you know, is now going to be, is going to hit 2021, how much are they redoing? What do they need to catch up on? Where is it off track?
We shall see. I got a couple more quick hits for you. Story number six. Could Demon's Souls be coming sooner than we think? This is Liam Croft at Push Square. It's no longer just Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales that can boast of a Korean rating as far as an upcoming PS5 game goes. The Demon's Souls remake joins the club as spotted by Gamatsu, and what's more, it has also been rated for release in Japan. Of course, these games were always going to launch in those territories on PS5, but it's the timing of it all which immediately becomes the talking point. The web-slinging spinoff is already confirmed for release later this year, but could the new take on From Software's original epic be a launch title? Greg, do you think Demon's Souls could be a launch title or a launch window game?
Oh, man. Launch window.
Imran were having this conversation, I think, 2 days ago, where he seemed more confident in it than I was. I was convinced Demon's Souls, we wouldn't see that until maybe next year or after. But with it being rated, who knows?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? I definitely think it's possible. I definitely think launch window is, I don't want to say probable, but possible for sure that they could do this. It's just more that thing of, when do you announce that? Like, and I guess, is it one of those that they were just trying to cross the finish line? They didn't want to overcommit when they were talking about it at that first PlayStation, you know, where they did Miles Morales and everything else, that first PlayStation 5 event. Where do you actually want to say that date? And I guess, you know, hopefully PlayStation's got something else up their sleeve in terms of a state of play or opening night live here in a couple weeks, or next week, actually, geez. 1 week from today, actually, geez. I don't want to get too excited for it because I think that'd be a great thing for the launch lineup, but it does seem like it could happen.
You know what's weird?
Again, why are you rating it so early if it's not?
Every time we mention Opening Night Live, I still imagine it with like a stage and a huge crowd in front of it.
Oh, yeah,
like,
totally.
It's not registered to me that that is going to be some sort of stream event.
I still do it for us. I still think to this day, and the night when I'm going to bed and I'm like, all right, tomorrow I'm getting to interview, Troy and Sandra. I picture it at the desk and I'm like, oh, wait, no, it's going to be me and me sweating through my fucking t-shirt sitting here in the windows.
Yeah, I still am not convinced that Demon's Souls is going to be launched. If it is, that's going to be great and that's going to be off the chain. But my point to it would be, is it needed? Like, do you need that game at launch when you have Miles Morales and you have third parties and all these other things? And Xbox doesn't necessarily even have Halo Infinite at launch. Like, with that being the case, how much do you need?
I mean, if you want to go for the jugular, right? Like, if you want to go and like have that whole, and they probably don't. They don't want, I always want to have this big statement from anybody who's doing something. They're more like, no, we want to sell this freaking system. So if Spider-Man can do it on his own, but.
Especially, but like, when you can space that stuff out, right? And like, I guess what it comes back to is, what is launch window? Because I could see Miles Morales coming out with the system at launch, Demon's Souls being, let's say, a February, March game, and then, you know, Ratchet and Horizon coming out like in drips throughout the year, right? Let's say Ratchet in summer, Horizon in fall. Like, that could be a great spread of releases right there, as opposed to having Demon's Souls and
Spider-Man have everything on top of each other
at launch. Yeah, and have everything on top of each other, and then have these spaces where we're maybe not getting first party games.
But then it is that argument of like, and I don't get me wrong, obviously Spider-Man sold so incredibly well on PlayStation 4, and there's the Souls fan base, but what is the Venn diagram between people who love Souls gameplay and love Spider-Man? Like, and it was, not to mention that, what if Spider-Man is more of the Uncharted Lost Legacy length, which, again, totally fine with, and I will pay for, and I think that's great. A lot of people use that as a negative, right? It's one of the reasons Gary's like, man, it's not a real game. Like, all right, well, it's a real game. Like, you know, but it's like, it has that stigma of not being the full-blown experience, even though it is its own full-blown experience.
Yeah. And I can see that. Like, I can see the Venn diagram not being that big, but I still think that's where other games like Jet the Far Shore and Bugsnax and like your Assassin's Creed and like all the other third-party stuff that is coming toward launch comes in to fill those gaps. I feel like it's PlayStation first party. You still want to have like each game kind of have its own moment and ripple, and maybe launch could be that moment. But we shall see. Our last news story for the day, story number seven: Take-Two acquires mobile developer Playdots.
Wow.
Sam Desitoff at GameDaily.biz. AAA publisher Take-Two Interactive Software is expanding its footprint in the casual mobile gaming market by way of a new studio acquisition. The company has announced today that it will buy 2Dots developer Playdots for $192 million in cash and stock deal. Quote, our acquisition of Playdots will diversify and strengthen Take-Two's mobile game offerings, particularly within the casual free-to-play segment, Michael Juarez, executive vice president at Take-Two, said in a statement. As a publisher of perennial revenue generators, NBA 2K and Grand Theft Auto Online, Take-Two's interest in the mobile segment might seem out of place. However, mobile is far and away the most lucrative sector of gaming. In June, analyst provider Newzoo estimated that the games market will generate $159 billion in 2020, with mobile accounting for nearly half of all revenue. And so, Greg, does the acquisition of Playdots, does that surprise you whatsoever from Take-Two?
I don't know if I'm usually following their mobile developer pickups that closely or anything. No, it's them diversifying, right? And I think that is interesting. You're always looking for what's going to happen in the mobile marketplace, if that's ever going to move forward from being more of a distraction to being more of a quote unquote real game, you know what I mean, service kind of thing. I think Apple Arcade and the money they've thrown behind it for games like Grindstone really prove that there's talented developers who will come and work on that with the right money. So if 2K or Take-Two is willing to pick up people like that and give them the leeway to do that, right? The things you're seeing with them in their smaller label private division, right? The fact that they're out there picking up smaller third-party developers, letting them have a budget and letting them make something cool, that's great. Will that actually net out here? Will we ever talk about a game from these folks before, you know, Playdots in the future? Who knows? But it's interesting to see people throwing their money around, I guess, and picking people up.
Yeah, like that last paragraph there, I think, kind of explains it all, of the fact that, yeah, like, mobile games are still a huge money generator, right? Nearly half of all revenue for video games. And Take-Two as a company, of course, like, they're all about making money, like any other company is. But, like, Take-Two, they are GTA Online, they are NBA 2K, like, they are, like, they kind of know what they're doing as far as, hey, how do we make our big money makers? Like, we're like, how do we set up the next big thing that is going to just generate revenue for us? And I think mobile makes sense for what that company is and where they can go with it. And so, sure. Kudos.
They're definitely cool trying stuff. To make money at Take-Two.
Greg, usually this is where I transition and be like, oh man, I'm excited to see what the new PlayZoo game is, but that is probably so far away. But before I make that transition, I want to tell you guys about our sponsor. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. I've been using DoorDash during this whole work-from-home time, and let me tell you, man, DoorDash has been such a lifesaver. It is very convenient. It allows me to get my food while, you know, doing other things. I can play video games. I can take a nap. I can do all my other activities while somebody out in the world somewhere is preparing and delivering to me my food. It is the best feeling ever when I can just open my door and it's sitting right there. And I don't even need to talk to anybody. That's the best part, is that, like, it just magically appears, right? I still tip a person, of course. Like, that, they're still getting my money, but the food is right there for me. No face-to-face. It's great. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES. Don't forget, that's code GAMES for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Greg,
hey,
I'm really excited to see what my lunch DoorDash order ends up being, but lunchtime is so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where'd I look?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah.
And I want me to interrupt you. To interrupt you.
What up?
I feel like you should just order a Popeye's chicken sandwich. I see the chat popping off here. There's a hashtag going, hashtag give bless a Popeye's chicken sandwich. That's what you should order from DoorDash.
They problem don't with that. This area. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that there's not a Popeye's in my vicinity to get I would have DoorDashed Popeye's by now. I know this has been a very big conversation.
Heated, apparently.
On Games Daily today. Because I've been evangelizing the Jollibee chicken sandwich, which still remains as the best chicken sandwich I've ever eaten. And I say that without trying the Popeye's chicken sandwich, which I know was a hit last year and continues to be so. 11, 1, And so, like, I don't know. Maybe I'll make a journey into proper San Francisco.
Don't do it alone. Well, you don't have to go to San Francisco again. It's right by Ceremony. Right by Ceremony, there's Popeyes. We can go together today. Let me see when we finish. 11. Well, you want
to
go at 1?
I'm busy today. No, I got a thing. I got a thing to do this afternoon. I'm going to be on Rooster Teeth. Oh, I think.
Here we go.
Maybe.
They're stealing you now.
1:45. We're clear. We'll clear that.
Are you going to get me home on time? Like, let's be honest. I'm going to get you home on time. We go to me and you go on a journey to Popeyes. We're going to be gone for the whole
day. I get people home on time. It's a close call. You know what I mean? Oh, man.
We're going to be gone the whole day.
I'll get Popeyes at some point. I'm going to do a Popeyes review on this show. We're going to make it a segment. I promise you. I don't know when, but at some point, I'm going to get Popeyes and I'm going to do the comparison. Mark my words. Out today, we got Gleamlight for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Orgatale for PC. Battletoads for Xbox One and PC. Hey. Which I've seen good things. I've seen people say good things about it, and so excited about that one.
I'm on Polygon right now, and the headline is Battletoads is an overcomplicated, obnoxious sequel.
I think IGN gave it like an 8, I think. Okay, and okay. So,
Imran had, hey, this isn't the worst thing in the world take last night.
Yeah, and I know Tim was saying that when he did the preview.
Oh, yeah, he hated it. I was there for that.
I have no idea what to expect when I boot that game up, but now I'm excited to see what people are so conflicted about. Griffin Knight Epic Definitive Edition is out today for Xbox One, PC, and Mac. Peaky Blinders is out for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, and PC. Fuzzball is out today for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Train Sim World 2 for PS4, Xbox One, PC. RPG Maker MZ for PC and Mac. Retro Tanks for Switch. Phonetopia for Switch. Bunny Adventure for Switch. Chinese Parents for Switch. Digirati presents The Dungeon Crawl for Switch. Kids Farm Coloring for Switch. Quiet On. Azuma Manor Story for Switch. Ellipsis for Switch. Pandora Chains of Chaos for PC, Eternal Hope for PC, Half-Fly 3 for PC. Let me say that again. Half-Fly 3. Don't get that twisted.
You see what they're trying to do there?
Yeah, you see exactly what they're trying to do there. Clever. Mystic Midway Rest in Pieces for PC. Scheming Through the Zombie Apocalypse for PC. Supernatural Duels for PC. Endless Escape for PC. And then 3 out of 10 Episode 3 is out today for free on Epic Game Store. New days for you. Hitman 3 will launch exclusively on the Epic Game Store for PC when it releases in January 2021. And then coming off of that, a deal of the day alert. Additionally, from August 27th through September 3rd, Hitman 2016, as Hitman 1, will be completely free for players to download and keep on the Epic Game Store. Again, that's happening August 27th through September 3rd. More for new dates. Circadian City enters Steam Early Access on September 24th. The Suicide of Rachel Foster hits PS4 and Xbox One on a lot of interesting games coming out today, let me say.
Yeah.
Or getting dates, I guess. That is coming out on PS4 and Xbox One on August 26th. And then Let's Sing 2021 brings karaoke anthems to PS4, Switch, and Xbox One on November 13th. And then another deal of the day for you. Enter the Gungeon and God's Trigger are available right now for free on Epic Game Store. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get your questions read on the show, just like, ooh, I got two different ones I can tackle right now. And we only have time for one.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no, decisions. Greg, do you want to talk about Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 Plus 2, or do you want to talk about Xbox Game Studios?
Xbox Game Studios.
Benjamin Barry writes in, and says, hey, Blessing and Greg, with Flight Simulator and Battletoads out this week and IGN giving them a 10 and an 8, it got me thinking about this year and Xbox Game Studios output. Has it been a sneaky great year for Xbox Game Studios? Going through IGN scores for the games they published or developed, Ori got a 9 out of 10, Bleeding Edge got a 7 out of 10, Gears Tactics got an 8 out of 10, Minecraft Dungeons got a 7 out of 10, Grounded got a 6 out of 10, Flight Simulator got a 10 out of 10, and then Battletoads got an 8 out of 10. Still to come in the next 4 weeks are Tell Me Why, Wasteland 3, and the Outer Worlds DLC, plus whatever they're able to get in for Series X around the holidays. It really would have been icing on the cake if Halo Infinite hadn't been delayed, but still, I think this has been a pretty great year for Xbox Game Studios. If they can produce this type of year regularly, plus add in 2 to 3 AAA games from their bigger studios, they'll be in a great position content-wise, and really be able to deliver on the goal of having a constant flow of new quality stuff to play on Game Pass almost every month. So, Greg, has it been a sneaky great year for Xbox Game Studios?
First off, is Flight Simulator out for Xbox or just PC?
Just PC, but it's from Xbox Game Studios, technically, I think.
No. You're right. No, I need to be on the record that I'm super excited for Xbox, for Flight Sim on Xbox. And so I then Googled it, and it actually looked like kind of questionable for a second. I was like, holy shit, did I fucking miss this? Did I misread this? I'm not trying to get it out of the conversation at all. Sneaky great. It's been sneaky solid. I think they've had a really solid lineup of games here that I think speak to very specific audiences. Just they don't necessarily speak on that giant AAA level, right? Where it's like you look through this and Ori's amazing if you love platformers. Bleeding Edge, I don't think is part of the conversation. Gears Tactics is down if you like that. I liked Minecraft Dungeons a lot, but again, that Grounded I think is higher than a 6. Also, it's an early access and doesn't deserve a review yet. IMO. Flight Simulator gets a 10 out of 10. Yeah, who can fucking wait? And then Battletoads, as we talked about, is questionable, but at least for this argument from IGN scores, 8 out of 10. Fuck, really? IGN did not... like Grounded's not like... is this IGN pulling that review in progress and giving it a thing? And if I did it right now, that's what it would be? IGN Grounded Early Access Review. Why are you reviewing Early Access? I don't know. I guess you have to. I don't know. I digress.
Do they have to, though? Do they have to?
It's out and you want to play it, but it's that... it is that weird thing.
I guess you have to
of,
pay for it, right?
Well, Game Pass, right? Yeah.
You could get on Game Pass. But if you didn't have Game Pass, it would be like I'm paying
money. And I guess then you're the argument of like, how do you review Fortnite and stuff? These are the same arguments we're having at IGN.
Like, Fortnite was out for 2 years.
I guess I don't. It feels weird to have an early access version of Grounded that we know is, hey, here's like 3 single player missions and a little bit more and we'll add and blah, blah, blah. It seems weird to have that. They keep everything they're doing here calls out early access, though, for the record. So it's a little bit different than I think that Avengers beta review they put up where you're like, what? So I think it's a solid year. It's just one of those things where out of these, are any of these AAA? Do any of these speak to the masses? Do any of these like really turn your opinion around about Xbox? I would argue no. I think this is similar to the State of Decay, Sea of Thieves stuff. Where I fucking, I love State of Decay. And granted, I had my problems with 2 because it was too similar to 1. But if you had never played 1, great, go into it. But again, like, I don't think that's a system seller. That's where you start talking about it. If you're an Xbox fan, I think it's been a great year for you in terms of if you're a Snowbike Mike, if you're living and dying the Xbox ecosystem and you have Game Pass, fuck yeah, dude. Like, what a gut fucking year. And you have all this to choose from, let alone this plethora of other games on Game Pass, let alone them teaming up for that demo event they did that was awesome, let alone them continue to support indies and bring them to the platform day and date on Game Pass. Like, if you want to go that way, then yes, it's been a great year for Xbox. Xbox has had another fucking great year of, so far, even as you point out, there's more coming up. Because tell me why is the next time I'm like, let's go day and date. Let's jump right in there. Episode 1, let's go. I think they've had another great year, but they just haven't had a home run year. This is a great, double or triple year. You know what I mean? You need a home run here. I'm using a lot of baseball analogies that I don't kind of understand. But it is that thing of, I think you look at PlayStation with Last of Us, Ghost of Tsushima, things that are breaking through. You look at Nintendo with Animal Crossing. Like, I think these are games that are like getting headlines in a way that Xbox doesn't get headlines, right? Yeah, exactly. Xbox gets headlines for its platform and for its services, and I think PlayStation, Nintendo, and this is broad brush, and I'm sure there's a million examples going the other way. PlayStation, Nintendo games get the headlines rather than what's happening with their platform or their services, and that is not coincidence. That is by design, and what Phil Spencer and the Xbox game team are doing over there, and as they build this Xbox platform that will transcend different consoles and different things, that's awesome. But again, how do you define that when you look at the year so far? Like, I really like Grounded, and I really like Minecraft Dungeons, and I'm really stoked for Flight Simulator. So I guess, it's an arguably great year, but I think it depends. Blessing doesn't want to talk about Xbox anymore, I understand. I think it just depends as you jump around person to person how you would define that. Oh, bye.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You hate to see somebody
I don't get it. Why is he so hostile like that?
You know what I mean? Exactly. I don't want a Popeye sandwich. I don't have time to go get a Popeye sandwich. I'll quit
just
the show.
Like, be my friend. Just be my friend. You know what I mean? He doesn't want
Kevin, there's no one I trust more. You could tell me you have 15 minutes
Kevin,
right
I'm
now, and I bet we could get Popeyes and get back to my house. No problem.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Because I don't make false estimates.
We can go get Popeyes.
That would take 40 minutes.
We can go get Popeyes. Does Popeyes have a drive-thru?
Yeah, right? You know what?
Certain ones
do. No, that one doesn't. Neither of the ones that are close to us do. But they do sell a bunch of shrimp. You know what I mean? Plus, I got another show to do after this, so it's not.
I was gonna say that sucks. That's what I'm looking at, because I was thinking tomorrow we could just we could do the show and then we could play hooky and do Popeyes in the backyard.
Here's the thing.
You know what I mean?
Barrett, what is he doing? You know what I mean?
I have no idea.
Oh, he actually has something on here. He's doing something with us. God
damn. Yeah, we're doing actually a thing in like 30 minutes.
No. Tomorrow, where we play. Fuck.
You have to go talk about some stupid anime cartoon. Let me guess. The dog turns out to be a pumpkin in the end. You know, I've seen it.
It's a wolf.
Tomorrow's pretty busy.
Sucks.
Don't look at Saturday then, son.
What? Oh, I'm not doing shit on Saturday. That's all you guys.
Are you not gonna join me for any of my DC stuff?
I don't know,
it's my E3. It's my E3.
I know, and like, you know, that means a lot to you.
All you need to do is pop in for your favorite DC movie.
Pop in, Kevin.
Suicide Squad. Aquaman. I could watch Aquaman.
You don't want to do Black Adam. You don't want to see The Rock come out. Dwayne Johnson.
You know they're just going to announce The Rock is no longer involved. It's going to be one of those sad things. Like, oh, just heads up. He's out.
The Rock. And he's like, oh, I'm leaving. I'm not doing this anymore. Oh, shit. Fuck. We recorded this panel. Why are we posting it?
I'm gonna go ahead and say I think Xbox Game Studios this year has been pretty excellent. This month especially, like to the point of Benjamin Barry who wrote in, right? Like Flight Simulator, Battletoads, Grounded. You got Tell Me Why coming up. Like Wasteland 3, right? Like in the Outer Worlds DLC. It's been a dynamite season right now for Xbox, and this is kind of what I wish we've seen from them all along. I know, like, of course, it's asking too much to be asking for like this level of, you know, one thing after another consistently over the course of 7 years during a console life cycle. But yeah, to your point, right? Like, they don't have anything here that is necessarily transcendent across the board. Like, Flight Simulator is getting 10 out of 10s, which is really exciting. But as I was saying yesterday with Gary Whitta, right? Like, that game is for people who like flight simulators. Like, and of course, more people are going to jump into it because it's a 10 out of 10 and because it's like this definitive flight simulator experience, which I think is going to attract more people. But it's not like an Animal Crossing or like a Last of Us or like a Mario Odyssey where, you know, flight simulator is going to appeal to a certain amount of people and not feel transcendent in that sort of way. And so, like, we had this conversation recently about how Microsoft seems to be dealing a lot in the double A space, even though I feel like double A is an incorrect way of putting it. Like, more so of a niche space, I'll say, for their games, right? Like, you know, Battletoads, you can probably give more of a double A indie kind of designation, right? But Grounded is more for a specific audience. Minecraft Dungeons, specific audience. Gears Tactics, specific audience, right? Bleeding Edge is gonna be for a specific audience. And I think that is a fine and even like a cool strategy to have as a first party console manufacturer. But that all kind of feeds back into the strategy of Game Pass and getting people in, funneling people into those experiences and giving people a wealth of
smaller experiences. Exactly. The Netflix of gaming, right? Where you come in and there's, you're not playing something for, well, I mean, you could, but you're usually not playing something for 100 hours. You're playing 10 things for 2 hours or something like that.
Yeah. And so with that, I think all that considered, this year has been a really great year for Xbox One. Like, I'd say it's been one of the better years for Xbox One. I think it could have been the best year if Halo Infinite didn't get delayed. But yeah, like, I still look back at years where we saw, you know, games like Cuphead or games like, I know a lot of people love Gears 5, right? Like, there's not necessarily been a game of that level that has come out for Xbox One this year. That said, I think it's been a really great year for
their services and what they're doing, for sure.
Yeah.
Real quick, while we've been live, Treyarch tweeted Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War key art, I guess, and then the date August 26th, 2020. So news incoming soon for them.
Boom. There you go. Now it's time to squad up. Nick writes in with a squad up on Xbox and says, I recently got back into Warframe on Xbox, and after playing nearly 1,000 hours over the last 4 years, is that recently? I don't know if you can say you recently got back into Warframe when you say you played 1,000 hours over the last 4 years. That sounds like you're a veteran.
Veteran, but he stopped for a while, and now he's come back to it.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying here. It's probably time to have friends to play with. Also, after a cursory search, I couldn't find the KF clan, so that could be a cool thing to start, maybe. Anywho, it doesn't matter your skill level or knowledge of the game. I can help with it all. My gamer tag is AnthroMetal, and I'm online pretty much every weeknight from about 7 to 11 Central Standard Time and all day on the weekends. Again, you can add Nick on Xbox with the username AnthroMetal, all one word. That is A-N-T-H-R-O-M-E-T T-A-L, all one word. Go play some Warframe.
Warframe.
Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in and let us know what we got wrong as you got it wrong. Let's see here. Mike writes in and says, I don't understand how you don't get the difference between Control running on next gen systems via backwards compatibility versus it having a built for next gen version. Control was a visual showcase. This seems like a lot of editorializing.
Yeah, no, it did. I saw it earlier. I kind of edited out the first because he was really mad in the first graph. But there's the point. I don't understand how you don't get the difference between Control running on next-gen systems via backwards compatibility versus it having built-in next-gen new version. Control was and still is a virtual showcase for ray tracing on the PC. Backwards compatibility will not add ray tracing to the game. That will be a feature only for Ultimate Edition owners. That's the main reason why so many of us who bought the game on the Season Pass and the current gen, like me, are upset about this. We're looking forward to booting up the game after we get our new consoles.
Is there anything that contradicts that, though?
Well, we talked a little bit about the Digital Foundry thing.
What's the next version look like?
For me, and this is Mike, clearly you're super invested in Control. We're going to sign off here in a second. I probably won't get the chance. Send me the link that talks about this, because I feel like you and I are on the same side of not understanding how the other doesn't understand it, because you're talking about ray tracing being in the Control Ultimate Edition on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X. Has that been confirmed anywhere? Because I'm on the Control introducing the Ultimate Edition FAQ and it mentions none of that. So I feel like you're making an assumption that's going to be in there. And what it's gonna, and my, if you remember my point during this argument was, we don't know how big of these differences are going to be because we haven't seen any of this stuff point blank. We haven't actually seen how these games are going to run. We haven't actually seen what the upgrades are going to include. We haven't seen any of those things. So that's the only thing as an answer to that I wanted to put in there that very well could be a you're wrong thing again, but it is also I don't know what the PlayStation 5 version of Control actually includes because they haven't said it to my knowledge. I Googled around, but I couldn't find it.
Zyger writes in and says, regarding Bloodlines 2, the game was originally revealed in 2019 and was supposed to release in March of 2020, but it got delayed in October 2019 to an unknown 2020 date. So the recent delay last week would be the game's second delay. So there you go. That's more context. Zyger also says, hashtag give Bless a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
One day.
You should do it.
I really want to try it. I'm not against it. I'm totally down. I love me a chicken sandwich. Let's see. Stead Jonat writes in and says, grounded IGN review. They go into it on Podcast Unlocked, but it boils down to you can buy it, so we should rate it. But the rating is now and will be re-reviewed upon full release. So there you go. And that looks like it's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tomorrow's hosts are Greg and me, back at it like a bad habit. And of course, that's what we do here. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.